It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome into another edition of Cabali and Mac. He is veteran Steelers reporter Mark Cabali. Is that your phone going off already? Something was making a noise and you don't even know what it was, right? No, welcome into the show, everybody. Episode number 62 of Cabali and Mac, presented by the Dan Heck Team. HeckTeamHomes.com is where you go to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. Heck, H-A-E-C-K, Team Homes. .com. The entire team there waiting for you to help you out, whether it's the first house you're buying, maybe you're looking to upgrade into the forever home, you got a growing family, maybe the kids are finally moving out and you're downsizing, whatever it may be, they're here to help you. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team ready to help you at the Dan Heck Team. HeckTeamHomes.com, the key to your next door. We appreciate them as always for presenting Cabali and Mac. And good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. It's an early edition today because week two of OTAs is underway, and Kaboom has got a skedaddle on down with his cutoff t-shirt to the south side to cover OTA number 5 down on the south side. There was an injury during OTAs, a season-ending injury during OTAs. We'll get into that a little bit later. You can follow us on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, and of course on YouTube. Just search Cabali and Mac. We're up to a little more than 1,650 subscribers. When we get to 2,500 on YouTube, we will give away that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. Thanks to our good friends at First and Goal Sports out at South Hills Village. FirstandGoalSports.com, First and Goal Collectibles hooking us up with that. They hooked us up with an autographed Penn State Pat Freiermuth helmet, which I have to ship off to Jason in Florida. There's one small issue with that, Kaboom.
Yeah, it's a big issue.
He wants us to sign the helmet too, he said. I don't know if I'm comfortable doing that. I emailed him back and was like, you really want us to ruin your perfectly good helmet by scribbling our signatures on this thing? And he hasn't responded yet.
Yeah, that's probably not good to have our... Although I've never signed a helmet before. I did something at training camp before, which is really, it was a football, and some guy stopped me, and I had the sign right next to, like, Tunch Ilk, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. No.
This makes your memorabilia completely worthless if we sign it. I want you to understand that.
Speaking of that, the Buccos keep going like this. That Skeens ball is going to be completely worthless.
I'm at my breaking point. I don't know why it was last night that did it for me. Lance McCullers pitched all right, but Lance McCullers has pitched, like, a dozen major league games in the last 3 years. And the Pirates looked completely and totally inept. Skeens gives up 3 hits. One of them just happens to be a home run on a sweeper that he hung a little too much in the zone. And, of course, it gets hit out. And it's just another 8 innings of 3-hit ball with 8 Ks should not make you shudder as soon as the other team scores a single run. But that's exactly what happens. This team is – it's so frustrating.
It shouldn't surprise anybody. The absolute craziness surrounding this. I can't believe this. I mean, how many times is it going to have to happen? We all knew this was going to happen before the season. I mean, you don't add any bats, any offense whatsoever. You're batting 220 as a team. You're in the top, I don't even say the bottom third. It was like the bottom two or three in every offensive yes. categories. You're not going to score runs. And you're not going to score runs. You're not going to win games. And then Paul Skeens does not look like he
can't be enjoying himself, man. He's going out there breaking his back every 5 days. And but I mean,
you agree we're getting to the point where we're like, we shouldn't be surprised by this. Why are we surprised?
No, it's not that I'm surprised. It's just like you see it over and over and over again, and eventually the last straw breaks the camel's back, and I'm like, I'm done with this. I can't. I'll watch every 5 days when Skeens starts. I'll catch a glimpse when Falter starts because he's pitched really well this year. But none of it matters if they don't score any runs. It's just infuriating. So there's your Pirates analysis for the day. The Pirates are back to being the Pirates.
Well, get that bottom line is get that Skeens ball now because it's going to be worthless here pretty soon.
It's not going to be worthless. He's still the best. I called him the best pitcher in baseball last night on Twitter, and somebody from probably a Tigers fan jumped into my mentions and was like, "Oh." And Tarek Skubal has been lights out. So, okay, he's the best pitcher in the National League so far this year.
You call you an asshole?
No, he didn't. Surprisingly, maybe it was just assumed. But yeah, it's absolutely infuriating. Thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens as well. I was out there cutting my lawn yesterday. My kids started it, did like three passes of the backyard, and then realized the pool was open and it was 82 degrees. So he jumped in and I had to finish the lawn. I wouldn't have to do all that. I wouldn't have to worry about all that. If I just finally get on board, you should do it. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Have Jake come out and tell you what they can do for you with a beautiful artificial lawn. You won't have to mow. You won't have to water. All you have to do is enjoy the best looking lawn in your neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. It's amazing what they can do. Small yard, big yard, little part of the yard or the entire yard. It doesn't matter. Get a hold of Southwest Greens today at SouthwestGreensPA.com. We want to thank them as well for supporting Kibali and Mac. We got some possible big guests lined up for the next few weeks, Kaboom. I know it's June and everybody goes, once mini camp's over, what are these jagoffs going to talk about? We got plenty to talk about. We're talking to some big names about maybe popping on the show in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
We won't give anything away. But
well, I messaged you last night at midnight and said, what about Pittsburgh Dad?
Yeah, Pittsburgh Dad lives in the neighborhood too.
Yeah, he's a Jefferson, Munhall, Pleasant, wherever.
He lives in Pleasant Hills, yeah.
I saw him at the Ollie's maybe a month or two ago. I'm like, oh, my goodness, it's Pittsburgh Dad. He goes, oh, my goodness, it's Mark. I'm like, hey, we're passing in the nights in the wind. The ship's in the night, right?
We have
you know what we were talking about?
What?
Aaron Rodgers. Not much has changed in 2 months. No,
nothing has changed at all. We have some mutual friends with Chris Prexta who helps – Kurt produced Pittsburgh Dad. He does a lot of writing.
Wait, Mac, I'm just thinking out loud. Pittsburgh Dad and Bad Napoleon with
at
me
at the same time. Oh my God. We got to line that up. So yeah, just when you think that after minicamp we won't have much to talk about, we'll have plenty to talk about. Some awesome guests talking to us about popping on the show this summer. So plenty to get into today. We'll get into the season-ending injury that has taken place at OTAs in just a little bit. A national reporter had a take on the Steelers quarterback situation and the way it played out this offseason that maybe we get a little more inside info from Kaboom on. But I wanted to start with this because it's just a feel-good story. What do I say all the time, Kaboom? I got to get more T-shirts made. Pittsburgh everywhere, always. We joke about it because we see people with Pittsburgh gear on at WWE events all the time. But Yinzers really are everywhere in the news, including all the way out in Walla Walla, Washington, qualifying for the U.S. Open.
Shot 68-68 to medal. Punch your way to Oakmont, the U.S. Open. What are you most proud about what you did out here today?
I told you I'm going to try not to cry. We stayed present all day. I knew I could do this. I knew I could do it. And, Oakmont and Pittsburgh and everything there, it means so much to me, like having grown up in Pittsburgh and caddying there. And it took every ounce of energy in my body to not think about that all day. And I'm just so proud of staying present, staying in the moment. I feel like I'm going to wake up from a dream here in a little while, and this isn't going to be real, but it's real. And, I'm so excited.
Well, Matt Vogt of Seneca Valley, who caddied for 6 years, Kaboom, at Oakmont, has qualified for the U.S. Open. This is your feel-good story if you're a Yinzer for the U.S. Open, especially it being in Pittsburgh this year. The year before, Neil Shipley, obviously, from Western PA, qualified. This is definitely your biggest feel-good story. Matt just lost his dad 2 months ago, so he's dealing with a lot. He's a dentist in Indy, right? And he goes out and he tries to qualify for the U.S. Open, and he makes it all the way out on the other side of the country.
Great. I mean, great story. And I don't even think it really matters what he does at Oakmont in a couple of weeks. I mean, although if I'm in his situation, going through my mind is if I put together a couple rounds, it is a life-changing event for me.
Just make the cut.
A life-changing event. If I could somehow, make this my life, and he has the opportunity to do, he seems like a very, very nice man. down to earth guy. And I mean, how many of us really knew anything about him or ever heard of him before a couple of days ago? And he's been making his rounds. And you, put it this way, I'm normally not much of a guy that's going to turn it on a golf tournament, even if it's a major, because I think majors are just phonies.
Why are majors phonies?
You labeled a major, so now it's important. I mean, it's just weird to me.
Listen, the Masters is important, right? The British is important. The U.S. Open is important. If you want to argue about, like, the TPC or the PGA or, you know, anything like that, the waste management, it's not considered a major, but it's the big one early in the year, usually right after the Super Bowl. You'd argue about how important they are. But, like, those three, you got to watch those three.
Yeah. No, I don't watch those three. God. Other than when Tiger Woods, you'd always have to turn them on. But I'm dating myself right there.
Yeah.
A little bit. But I will definitely find myself turning it on Thursday and Friday more than just to see Pittsburgh area. And what road is that travels right through Oakmont?
The Turnpike.
Is it the Turnpike? Yeah. I don't make my way to Oakmont very much.
You know? Have you been there to watch the U.S. Open before to cover it?
I've been to the bakery. the golf course.
Of course. No, it is, dude, that course is beautiful. It kicks people's ass every time. I wasn't there last time, but the previous time it would have been like, God, I don't know, probably like, what was it, 14 or 15? Doesn't matter. And just walk the course. Sort of behind Tiger's group, because people would empty out and you'd have a chance to get a little bit closer and watch whoever was playing behind Tiger. And it's an experience, man. A beautiful course that challenges the best golfers in the world, like probably no other course in the United States. And the fact that this dude caddied there for six years gets to play that course in the U.S. Open. Making the cut would be a massive story for Matt Vogt. No, I'm not taking anything away from his ability to play golf. He just qualified for the U.S. Open, but like that would be huge if he gets to play on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. Plus, I'm under the belief that he grew up watching Bob Pompiani on KDKA. So anybody who's watches Bob Pompiani growing up deserves to have a shot of winning a golf tournament. So
anybody like us who considers the Pompianis Pittsburgh royalty,
they're in our
good graces. Shout outs to Lisa Pompiani, who every time she sees me has to tell me how often she listens to Y108. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it.
At least there's one person listening.
Shut up. Nobody asked you.
Did she ever call up and request Shaboozy?
No, you know who does call? You know who does call all the time? So you've heard of Dan and Shay, right?
Who? No.
Dan and Shay, the country duo.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Myers grew up out in the North Hills.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Jim Colony coached them in Little League Baseball. Anyway, they're a famous country music duo. The only thing you really know is Shaboozy and Jelly Roll, huh?
Kenny Rogers back in the day.
You got to know when to hold them, when to fold them. Anyway.
Very underrated. Yeah, I don't know how that's possible, but Kenny Rogers' like greatest hits album is just spectacular.
Dan Smyers' mom, Patty, calls all the time. Wonderful woman. Love talking to her when she calls into Y108. Every afternoon from 3 to 7, you could hear Chris Mack on Y108 playing what? Mark?
Plus you use your radio voice.
Oh, yeah.
When you were at Penn State, did they teach you how to do radio voice?
No, they don't teach you how to do radio voice. And it's not really radio voice. You shouldn't be doing radio voice when you're on the air, first of all. You should just be talking in your regular voice, which I think I do more often.
No, I don't know. I think you got a little bit of twang in there of radio voice.
You think? Anyway, no, you just learn it. You learn it. You know how they talk about you got to get reps in? Yeah. You got to get reps in trying to lose the Yinzer accent. Like if I went back and found tapes of my first year or two on the radio when I was in college, you'd probably hear a little bit of Yinzer in there. Just the tiniest twinge, you know, dragging out the vowels just a little.
Let's go to the phone lines.
Nobody says, let's go to the phone lines. It's not 1963.
I'm talking about when you call it shit. Now we have Our Lady of... Our Lady Peace, Superman's dead or whatever.
I love the songs that got drilled into my head when I first started in radio, because I was in top 40 at the time, were like awful songs. Like Eiffel 65, that blue song, I'm blue, da boo dee, drilled into my brain.
Oh, you know, I always thought they said something else.
I know you did. Like that stupid Cher song, if you believe in life after love, like crap like that got drilled into my brain when I was like 20 years old and first started.
To copy this. And...
No, we won't be snipping this and posting it to social.
Funny how it only applies to me.
Yeah, it's funny. If you would learn how to edit the video, maybe you could have some fun with it. Too.
The great Jerry DiPaolo reached out and said, hey, I want to pick your mind about podcasts. I said, Jerry, I show up. Here's Mac's number.
Looking forward to hearing from Jerry D, the great Jerry DiPaolo. thanks also to Nail Studio 2 for supporting the show. Out in Peters Township, if you live in the South Hills or anywhere in Northern Washington County, that's the place to go to get your nails did under new ownership and uber talented nail techs. The best at what they do. You know somebody who wants to get their nails done before you head off to your beach vacation. Maybe you're a dude who's not ashamed to get your feet taken care of. Nothing wrong with that. They are the place to go. Nail Studio 2, McMurray Peters Township area. Nail Studio 2, that's a Roman numeral 2, nailstudioii.com, 724-941-4595. You can give them a call or you can now book online as well. Nail Studio 2. .com. And if you happen to be a nail tech who's looking for a better gig, they happen to have an opening. So get a hold of them today, nailstudio2.com. We want to appreciate them for being a sponsor of Kabali and Mac as well. Thanks. Okay. I mentioned a national NFL reporter with a bit of a take on what happened with the Steelers quarterback situation this offseason. I want to get your response to this.
People there would tell you that the Russell Wilson thing undermined so many things in the last month of the season, and that a lot of that building really wanted them to go back to Justin Fields. Mm. And it was something where, I mean, Tomlin was kind of, again, all on his own on that one. And I think it's part of the reason why Tomlin likes Shadur, like he likes Shadur going into the draft. But I don't think Tomlin wanted to, I don't think he wanted to like press that button again at quarterback after what happened with Russell at the end of the year last year.
That's Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated on the Bill Simmons podcast. I think it was late last week. We just found the video the other day. Thought we'd talk about it today a bit. There's a good bit to unpack there. First of all, the Russell Wilson situation at the end of the year. He makes it sound as if the reason they stuck with Russ when the struggles began in the last month of the season and didn't go back to Fields was it was a Mike Tomlin decision. And there may have been some other people in the building, Arthur Smith, who were more interested in giving Fields another shot and maybe giving the offense a boost when they were struggling down the stretch. Does that part make sense? We'll start there.
Well, yeah, I guess. I going to that locker room, I don't see anybody that was like against Russell Wilson. I mean, I don't know where that comes from, that term, I guess. I didn't see anything of that sort. And honestly, if you look at those last four or five games, it had really not a lot to do with how he played as well. But if you look at where the possible source comes from and you're looking at Arthur Smith, and I love Arthur Smith. I think he's a great guy. But Arthur Smith tends to talk a lot. And of course, he wants to put himself as an offensive coordinator in the best possible position. And he felt that the best possible position would have been Justin Fields at the time. But at that point, I don't know. I mean, we're reliving the past here. And what opportunity did you want Russell Wilson to be yanked for Justin Fields in that game?
Do you think if they didn't?
I don't see any spot other than, you know, the playoff game where Justin hadn't thrown a pass in 2 months that you're just going to insert him in there. So, of course,
if they hadn't had three games in 11 days, do you think that changes things and it gives them an opportunity to go back to Fields and Tomlin maybe grows a little more comfortable with it?
No, I think Mike Tomlin looked at that nine game span and said, hey, this is what we can do. with Russell Wilson. Now, Pickens wasn't around. The offensive line crapped out at the end. The defense just totally imploded. So I still view it as revisionist history of blaming all Russell Wilson fault right there. I don't think if you throw Justin Fields in there at his best at that last month of the season, that it's going to change much of anything. Maybe it changes the way people look at Arthur Smith and how he wants to. Oh, I know this for a fact. And I think, you know what? I think even AQ told us this about Arthur Smith's offense was just different last year. He had to hold back. There was some points where he didn't go full board because of the personnel around him. I'm sure that had something to do with the reason why he wanted Justin Fields in there, not Russell.
Well, I think you make a good point bringing up the Pickens absence during that window, what it did to the offense. But I do think it's fair to ask, if they're not playing three games in 11 days and you have a full week to prepare for it and you get Justin Fields in there with a package or two where he does use his legs, because that is how he is dynamic, more dynamic than Russ. What?
He was hurt.
He was not hurt to the extent that he couldn't have played.
He was inactive for a game. I know that.
I think if they're not playing that Christmas Day game on a Wednesday after playing on a Saturday, I think there's an opportunity where if you're just playing every 7 days and the schedule is a little more, I don't know, has a little more breathing room in it, that you could have inserted Justin in there. I mean, the fact that we didn't even see Justin getting any packages late in the season, which he was getting occasionally when he was still healthy and Russ had taken over as starter, was surprising to me. So maybe there was more to the injury part of this storyline. Well, but
we know that those two didn't get along near the end there. I mean, that was well reported.
Yes.
Of Russell and Arthur not seeing eye to eye. I mean, this could have had something to do with Albert Breer's belief and what he was told right there as well.
I also wonder if this kind of loops back a little bit on the Mike Tomlin philosophy of just do enough. And what I mean by that is we hear him say every year, we just want to get in the tournament, right? They just want to get in the playoffs because that gives them a chance to go on a run and maybe shock the world and win, or at least go to a Super Bowl. He says that a lot. Once you get in the tournament, right? And I wonder if when they're sitting there with that 7-4 record, if he looks at it and goes, all right, we just got to maintain, right? Yeah. And if he looks at it instead a little more aggressively and says, no, we got to win, you know, four of these last five or three of these last five. Maybe that's enough to win us the division and get us a home game. If he looks at it a little more aggressively, okay, yeah, they may fall flat on their faces, but they did that anyway. And if he's a little more aggressive at the quarterback position and switches things up a little bit, and maybe this is the argument Arthur Smith made, or maybe Arthur just made the argument that Russ wasn't working for the offense anymore because Pickens was hurt. I don't know. But if he's a little bit more aggressive on the offensive side of the ball there, instead of just trying to maintain and get in, I wonder if things look a little different at the end of the year. And being more aggressive would have been flipping the switch back to Justin Fields late in the year.
At that point, don't you have to just maintain, considering all the obstacles that were ahead of you, the three games in 11 days, the people injured, the defense just imploding, TJ not 100%. At that point, you're just trying to get into the dance at that point.
Well, if your thought is getting to the playoffs is a modicum of success, right? Because it opens the door to anything can happen at that point. Then, yeah, I guess you live in the world of maintain. You live in your fears just a little bit of going 0-5 down the stretch and not making the playoffs at all or whatever it may be. They ended up imploding down the stretch anyway. They still made the playoffs, but I don't know. It's just it does loop back on that Tomlin philosophy of let's just do enough. Let's just score. We only got to score 23 here this week because we know our defense is performing. We only got to win 9 or 10 games and get in.
What have you seen up until that point from Justin Fields that would suggest to you that he would have been able to come in and perform better than Russell Wilson?
A 4-2 start, and the ability to use his legs to be a little more dynamic than Russ standing back there shuffling around in the pocket trying to see over offensive linemen.
4-2 is, you know, let's call it for what it is right there, man. It's not like they overwhelmed any teams there. They played some really bad teams and got by right there. I don't think they won four of those six games because of Justin Fields. That's just me. I don't think they bring him in there and he makes much of a difference whatsoever.
They won the majority of those games because of their defense. I'm not gonna pretend like that's not the deal. I get it. But it's I think their question's worth asking and wondering about when you hear the reports, and you know, we don't know who Albert Breer is talking to, but you hear the reports that, you know, there were other people that would have been a fan of maybe flipping the switch back to Justin Fields late in the year, and keeping Russ in there was the sort of just let's just maintain move that seems very typical of Mike.
I just don't know where there the option was. Where was that perfect spot of inserting Justin Fields, considering he was hurt for a couple weeks?
I mean, the final week of the regular season wouldn't have been a bad time when you know.
Where he hasn't thrown a pass in 2 months. His only pass was in Cleveland, I believe, at that time from week six until – and it was a strange pass at what it is. But, I mean, it's just strange. It's just strange that this is even the topic right now, to be honest with you, when you got really important stuff like Donald Parham.
We'll get to that in a second. Massive tight end injury. We'll get to that in a second. The other half of what Breer said related – to Shedeur Sanders, and that Mike Tomlin really liked him, but that he didn't want to push that button. I guess not wanting to restart at the quarterback position is that I'm not sure what he means by push that button, but take a risk, roll the dice on a quarterback maybe after the quarterback failures of the last, you know, 4 years, whatever it is. I don't know what he means by that phrase, push that button, but it's interesting that, at least according to some people, Mike Tomlin liked Shedeur, but they continued to pass on him and pass on him and pass on him until Cleveland ends up taking him. And they do end up with Will Howard, so they get a quarterback in the draft, but not a guy that maybe, I don't know, it comes back to Mike Tomlin's risk aversion, I guess. Wasn't willing to take a risk on.
Yeah, I don't know where this... I mean, you know who else passed on them? About 180
everybody.
Other picks. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about a fifth-round pick or fourth-round pick? Or, I mean, maybe that pushing that button is to deal with the circus, but I don't think Tomlin really cares about that. You know?
No, if anybody can handle the circus, it's Mike Tomlin.
You know, if he felt that the guy could play football at a high level, he'd be on the team right now. And I don't know about pushing buttons. I don't even know how you even – relate Shedeur Sanders with Russell Wilson or even Justin Fields. That just seemed like somebody got over their skis and started talking and said, what am I talking about?
Well, I do think it's a little more simple than that. I think it's maybe when the discussions were finalized and as they were happening during draft weekend, maybe some people in the building, Mike T included, liked Shedeur. They just didn't like him enough to, like you said, roll the dice on it and bring in everything that, you know, comes with Shedeur, which is all the headlines, all the focus, all the stuff. They already had Rudolph secured. Maybe they, who knows, we've speculated for 2 months about a backdoor agreement with Aaron Rodgers, and they didn't want to have to deal with Rodgers and Sanders in the quarterback room at the same time.
You know what I found out recently was when Aaron Rodgers showed up, when was that, March?
Yeah.
That if you ever go to the Steelers facility, that's the Steelers, there's like parking, indoor facility, parking, Steelers facility, practice fields,
yeah, and
pit practice fields are on the far end.
Right.
You go all the way down there.
There's a little gate back there, yeah.
Apparently that's where he came in at.
Oh yeah, I recognized it as soon as I saw the photo online. I was like, I know that gate
there. Yeah, and went in that way so he wouldn't be noticed.
The only people that would have known he was there that day are the other people that park out in that lot, like Jeff Hathorn and Will Graves. And when I show up twice a year, people like me.
Yeah, there's no, the parking's bad, but I mean, just to go to that level, I mean, I thought that was interesting. I thought he might have came in the side entrance. No, this was like, you had to walk a half a mile.
You think he would have walked in through like the UPMC entrance and pretended like he was there for physical therapy and then just walked all the way through the
hoodie on? By the way, I think Mark Malone said that. I said he'll be signed. I'm like, we got another
48 hours.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Put it this way. I still am a firm believer he will be there on Tuesday. Now, when that officially gets done, it could be today, tomorrow, Monday, whenever.
If it could get done before Friday morning, because I'm going to be away this weekend, and we're not going
to he's going to check in to see when you're available.
If he could, that would be great. Because I don't want to have to try and pull this off from my phone while I'm like hiking through the mountains of Arizona. I'd prefer not to do that. I'd prefer to just have it done by Friday.
You want
to
find out about the Arizona mountains?
What?
They don't look very steep until you get up on them. And it's like, holy hell, this is kind of steep. As I drive by and I'm not walking up there, there's probably like rattlesnakes and stuff up there. I get lost. Lots of stuff. You know, even though it's Phoenix is in a grid area or Glendale, whatever. Right. I always get lost. I'm like, everything looks the same to me.
If you get lost, just loop back or make three left turns. And you're right back where you started.
Everything looks the same to me. It's like, okay, is this, you know, which way am I going here? I mean, this is the road that I should be on, but it's really not the road I should be on.
You're the only person that could get lost in a perfect grid.
I'd get lost there, but I wouldn't get lost in Pittsburgh where, you know, you have to make seven rights to make a left.
And there's 6 one-way streets and all that. I am looking forward. If there are any Kabbalion Mac fans out in the Scottsdale area, well, hey, each of our Alan winners,
Robinson, maybe
each of our winners so far has been from somewhere in the Sun Belt, as they call it. We had Larry from Southern California. We've had a couple winners from Florida. So, hey, I'm going out to Harold's Corral one night. I'm not sure if we're going on Saturday night when we get there. No, it's like the biggest, one of the biggest Steelers bars in the world.
Whoa. So you're going from Pittsburgh to Arizona to go to a Steelers bar.
Hell yeah, brother.
Loser.
Shut up. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Renegade. You go bring your terrible towel, put it in your back pocket.
Oh, I'll have a Pittsburgh something on, whether it's just a hat or not. I'm not sure, but I will represent. I can't wait to get out there this weekend. So, yeah, if Rodgers could not sign while I'm in Arizona, so we have to do some sort of ass backwards makeshift podcast from my phone.
I'm not hosting, by the way.
No, you're not. We've deduced that is a bad idea to let you go on your own. I think.
Especially when I'm glad your power hasn't went out recently.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Also, thanks to Impact HVAC. It's getting hot out there, as you can see from Kaboom's cutoff sleeves. You want to stay cool? Oh, put the guns away, buddy. You got a license for those things? It's getting hot outside. You want to stay cool? Get the AC tuned up. Just get them to come out and give it a checkup so that the first time you really fire it up, it doesn't go kaput on you. They're the best people to call. Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852. Check them out on Facebook as well. Impact HVAC, PGH. We got to thank them for supporting the program as well. All right. OTAs.
I thought you were going to talk about the Trump Harmon Killebrew.
No, I think it's best to stay away from that, probably.
I mean, I will mention one thing and we can let it go is I think a lot of people that were complaining about that incident were more mad at Rocky Blyer than Mason Rudolph and Miles Killebrew.
Yeah, I mean, look.
So I was told or it was referenced to me that maybe they weren't very happy with Rocky taking part in that more than anybody else.
There are a couple hundred people working within that organization. 50 to 75 of them, depending on what time of year, are football players. You can't tell me that you can't expect that some of those football players may hold different political views than you. Like, it's a reality. So whether they show up on stage with a Republican or a Democrat or Ralph frickin' Nader from the Green Party or Ross Perot stumbles out on stage, I don't care what party they're a part of. You can't be surprised when that stuff happens. And this is why I don't let any of that crap enter my consciousness when I'm thinking about players. I have close friends who have completely different political views than me. I don't care. Your political views are your political views, and I'm not here to talk about it. I'm just
The Rock. The Rock.
The Rock. That man's a war hero.
Oh, yes. I mean, if somebody deserves a whatever.
A pass?
I don't want to say pass because that means he might have did something wrong. I don't know what you said. It's his own beliefs. It would be The Rock. It has 1 foot, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Play
pretty good football.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I have my official standing on that is no comment. I don't really care who goes to whose rallies or whose speaking engagements or anything like that. I do think you like how Mason is sort of angling for the future in politics. Senator Rudolph of South Carolina is going to be a thing someday.
Yeah, he has to do a little bit better at the
quarterbacking thing first.
Well, actually, the public speaking thing. I was thinking more like.
I think he handles himself pretty well.
Well, I'm surprised he was up there on the whim and was able to address a crowd like that. He knew that it was coming yesterday. I didn't really have anything to do with it. I was just tweaking him a little bit while he was getting asked these questions, but he knew it was going to be coming. So, I mean, I'm there to watch football. I don't really care.
Right. Exactly. So whether you're pissed off at Mason and Rocky and Miles Killebrew, or you're pissed off at Art Rooney for putting out a statement, just take a step back and realize we're talking about freaking politics. And we're all, I'm going to have a little kumbaya moment here with you. We're all Steelers fans. We're all Yinzers at heart. So, I don't want to say get over it, but like put it in its proper perspective, I guess is the best way to put it.
I was just more upset that, there was a lot of traffic on that day, right?
Yeah.
I didn't run into any, so I don't really care.
Major injury during OTAs. Donald Parnum, fourth string tight end.
When did he become Antonio Gates is my question.
An Achilles injury. I feel bad for the dude or anybody that suffers a catastrophic injury, especially during this time of the year, because it's effectively going to affect two seasons for him, right? Like he'll be out this year. This is a borderline roster guy, probably a practice squad guy if he makes the team at all. And now he's going to have to, you know, I don't know if he gets the injury release or settlement or how that stuff works. But like, you know, there's a guy who's fighting to keep his football dream alive, and that's cooked for the next 12 to 15 months.
But let's, you know, present this like it is. I don't think I would look at him as a difference maker here. All of a sudden it's like, oh, Parnum's out, so we need to go find a tight end.
Yeah, man. This doesn't affect Jonnu Smith or any of that stuff.
Honestly, Darnell Washington, like I've been telling you and I wrote today, is, I mean, he looks like a different guy right now. And now if it was Washington, that's a different, you know, you're not even expecting a lot from him. To me, this sounds like a whole work to me. I mean, you come out and say that the Steelers are interested in Jonnu Smith, and all of a sudden, no, he wants to stay in Miami. What, Parnum's heart hurt? Oh, let's get back into this race. So all of a sudden, Miami might feel the sense of urgency. And you know what? Gabe Davis is coming here too, so maybe we'll have to pay him less if it's between him and Jonnu Smith. I just don't buy it all. I could be wrong. I haven't been able to get a good feel. I got a good feel instantly on the Jonnu Smith initial report. Here I haven't been able to get much of a feel of if this is legit or just BS, but I would guess it's more BS than anything else.
I mean, there were some people I saw in the comments after we talked about that the other day who made the point that, you know, to have an inline, use Smith as an inline tight end in some formations and split Pat out into the slot because Pat can run routes like a wide receiver. But it is an Arthur Smith offense. I get it. If you have two starting capable tight ends, it's not a bad thing. Arthur will find a way to use them. But to your point, Darnell Washington is that other dude. I've been saying this about Darnell Washington since he showed up to his first training camp, and I saw him making tiptoe catches in the corner of the end zone during practice, during seven shots. Like, this dude is a lot more athletic than people give him credit for. And like you said, you wrote about it this morning. He's dropped a few LBs. He's under 3 bills now. Looks like he's moving a little more nimbly. And if they don't finally realize his potential in short yardage and red zone, in third down situations. They're wasting this guy's, just his physical size alone, let alone his talent, his ability.
Yeah, after practice, I even asked him, I said, are you working on that red zone stuff? He's just lined up the old Weezy Thompson stuff, man. You're 6'8", three bills. You're going to be able to block people out. You're going to be able to box them out, and that's what he's been able to be good at. I mean, 10 to 15 pounds for that guy is a drop in the bucket. It means nothing. However, I think it's starting to make sense to him how he feels. Just because you lose weight doesn't mean that you're going to feel better. I think him taking care of the body, him, as he said, put down the video game and go, get some rest at night. He's learning how to become a pro, and that should help him out in the long run here. I mean, a lot of these guys are very similar, man. It takes him a while to realize what it takes, and it looks like he knows now that if I'm going to have a chance at a second contract here, I better start working on this body. I always preface my questions, which is very strange. And I said, Darnell, I know this is strange coming from me, but when you stepped on that scale, did you say, oh, my goodness, this can't work anymore? He goes, yeah, pretty much so.
I mean, it's the maturity thing, right? Like you said, it does relate to his college teammate, Broderick Jones. Guys who are learning how to become pros. And I realize a lot of the stuff with Broderick is going to be moving back to left tackle and not having to do all the mental processing that comes with being on the other side of the line this year. But, the maturity level needed to say, no, I'm going in college. These guys were so athletically gifted and talented that even on national championship teams, they didn't have to maybe put in the extra time or the extra care or extra attention that they're now putting in. And so they get to the pros and they discover, oh, wait, I can get by to a certain extent on just my natural ability. But if I put in just that much more work, I can become that much better. And if that gets him more involved in the offense, I'm all for it because I love it.
Yeah, imagine you at 23, probably hammering a couple hot dogs and whatnot. I'll tell you right now, last year he would be done with practice and I would drive home and I ran into him in Sheets down the road here, literally like an hour after practice. I only know, maybe I'm getting a Coke Zero or something. He's like grabbing some snacks for the night. I mean, now he's eating healthier and I guess I won't see him in Sheets anytime soon down the street here. So, I like what I've seen. I mean, that's definitely not mean that he's going to come out week one and be a changed man. But at least I think you take baby stuff you look for in OTAs like this is just the change in the potential. And I think he's starting to get it rather than the routes and the red zone crap. He just seems like he's moving quicker. I even asked another guy. I'm like, he seems like he's moving kind of, smooth.
Yeah.
I mean, he would literally look like he was riding a horse. I'm like, this guy ain't lasting, man. That knee hurts me just looking at him walk. You don't see that anymore. I mean, is it because he has cold tub, hot tub taking care of his body? Could be, but at least and it wasn't directed to him either. It was,
he took care of it himself.
I'm gonna do this.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. Well, we'll see how long it takes, Get a couple of Rice Krispie treats in you, and all of a sudden you binge a little bit.
You got to let us know if you see him at the Curry Hollow Sheets again. You can't. I wonder if he'll pop up like we will up the road from there when Hulk Hogan comes to town.
I am. Here comes the comments again. Now
what?
We just got off the political agenda, and now you're bringing Hulkster up. Who's the first person to be like, that's guy.
I don't look, this is what I mean. I don't care about Hulk Hogan's politics. I don't. If he's going to show up at a beer distributor on a Tuesday afternoon and I got a chance to go see him, I'm going to go see him. He's still Hulk Hogan.
Who cares if he's hawking beer? I mean, we're hawking this podcast, right?
Exactly. I wonder if the beer's any good, though. I haven't tried it. Real American beer, brother.
Wow. Now, if you go down and see the Hulkster,
yeah.
Are you obligated to buy a case of beer or what? What
you feel? I don't know if I'll get a whole case. And maybe I'll get like a sixer or 12 pack just so that he sees that I bought it. And I mean, you know, there's a photo op, get that.
He's as a sponsor, man. That place is, forget the beer. They got a little bit of everything in there.
It's a hell of an idea.
That's a hell of a place.
Plus, yeah, it is. I got a buddy that works there.
I mean, honestly, how many different kinds of beer are in Duffy's?
They have everything. Somebody asked me, I forget where I was, but there's a new flavor of White Claw or something that my wife likes. And I was at a different beer distributor for something else. And they were like, yeah, I didn't even know they had grape White Claw. I was like, oh no, they have it. My wife saw it at Duffy's.
Yeah.
So if Duffy's has it, it exists. If it exists, Duffy's has it.
I got some Busch Light apple cider or something.
I have four or 5 year old Busch Light apple that has been sitting in the back of my fridge. I'm never drinking it. I got it from a neighbor after a Penn State Ohio State game. He wanted to punish me, so he gave me a Busch Light apple, and it's going to sit there forever, never touching it.
Well, give it to the kid when he turns 21.
That's an idea. We only got 9 years to go on that. Shout outs to everybody in the comments. Did you see this? Steelers Nation Australia is hanging with us today. Kaboom. That's big.
I don't. Where is this at?
All the way at the top of the comments on X.
Do they think of Cam Johnston?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe they'll tell us. Mark Malone, a big fan of Cher. So, if you're in the comments, we see you. We appreciate it, even if you're just arguing with each other about politics now because Kaboom had to bring it up. By all means.
Thornburn looked like he had a stroke or something.
Who?
I don't know. He just put an I and a J. I don't know what the hell he's saying. Joshua. You know, by the way, I think I saw a guy from my old wrestling days on here.
Who's that? Conley. Who?
A little Scott. Well, he might not be Scott. He's probably like 50. There he is. CWF commission. You know how it is. 9:02 a.m. I was the commissioner of the Championship Wrestling Federation in the mid-90s. Bill Hughes.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're going to have to give me more context here. You were the commissioner of a wrestling organization?
Yeah, local in Manassas at the Armory.
Did you come out and like... Did you go full Adam Pearce and like make matches and stuff?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Were you good on the mic?
I'm looking at my view here. Sorry. What were you saying? Why I don't know why people need to freaking message me while I'm.
Exactly why they're messaging you, because they know what a shit show it turns into when you start looking at your phone. I could go for 35 seconds, ask you like a really well-crafted, pointed question. You go,
I'm not paying attention.
What? I was looking at my phone. What happened?
I did that with Dorn and Crowley the other day. I was talking, then all of a sudden I start watching the TV and Otani's home run on Sunday night, and I got totally distracted, and it felt like I had a stroke. It sounded like I had a stroke. I'm like, oh, I'm distracted by the TV up there.
So hold on, you were the commissioner of a small local wrestling group.
I got hit over the back by Shirley Doe of the Hellfire Club because I made a match. I might have suspended him. I can't remember. Everything.
Were you good on the mic? That's what I asked when you weren't paying attention.
Terrible.
That's what.
Well, this is you know why because you go out, and right before you go out, be like, hey, make this match, and this match. I'm like, what? And then your music would hit, and I totally forget. So it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
This was 20, 30 years ago.
Jesus.
CWF, baby. I'm sure you can Google the results of some of it. I think
I will jump right on that after we're done here. Yeah. No worries about that. I'll be sure to go back through the entire archive.
CWF is really hard to find.
You know what? Just I'm going to Google CWF right now and see what pops up.
You might have to go championship. You might have to put my name in it too.
CWF Wrestling. Here we go. Championship Wrestling from Florida, it says. And then there's a Canadian Wrestling Federation. I think you're making this up. Coastal Wrestling Federation. There's all kinds of hits. CWF Mid-Atlantic. Is that what you're talking about? I don't know.
Here it is right here. I got it already.
Go ahead. Hit me with it.
2 seconds.
Come on, Google machine.
I will send it to you right now.
Read me the search results.
22,000. Nasty Nick Crane defeated Tommy Brown. Oh, no. Armageddon defeated Sexual Harassment.
Wait, that was the tag team name, Sexual Harassment?
Yeah, it's Devil Booty Clown defeated Scott Benham. Dirk Ziggler, Super Hentai.
Oh, the 2000s in wrestling were a time, I tell you.
Let's see here. Let's see where I can dig in.
Let me ask the W.
Bison saved me one day, too. Okay.
Let me ask the WWE.com writer. Do we know? I've openly admitted this before. Unless I know Britt Baker is going to be in a big match, I don't really watch AEW. I just don't have time to watch wrestling 5 days a week. It's a wonder I get 2 to 3 days a week in. Who is this Mariah May that showed up on NXT last night? This is a big deal.
You're acting like I watch NXT.
Oh, come on. WWE.com.
Yeah, WWE, not NXT.
NXT is WWE.
I'm a big leader. I don't go to the minor leagues.
Wow. Jeez.
Once again, I don't have enough.
All right. I'll look for the write-up on WWE.com next week.
Yeah, there should be two. Well, actually, I have two stories that they haven't published yet, so I don't know what's going on. They published and pulled it yesterday. Maybe. I don't know what happened.
Editorial content.
I don't
decision. Rick wants to point out that if they need any help on the line, offensive or defensive, I imagine he's talking about, we can get you on there with those guns out.
Yeah, you know, got a little age on me. I don't know if nobody – plus, you know, a couple of knee injuries and
– Achilles.
Yeah, I might be able to give you about 4 snaps. I might be able to do a field goal block.
You could long snap, right? We don't want you to take Kuntz's job, but you could tuck your head down and just fire the ball back.
You would be shocked of how deliberate Kuntz has to be with those snaps. I mean, revolutions, times. I mean, where the laces are in relation to when he snaps the ball. It's more than just, hey, let's just go snap it.
Oh, I know. It's actually one of the more difficult jobs in football. Because you don't really get to protect yourself at all. You're just firing that thing back there and trying to be precise with it, like you said.
Plus, I don't envy long snapper. And you talk about one position in any sport that the only thing you get recognized for is when you screw up.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing else. Nobody will be like, boy, Steelers came back and won that game on that heck of a freaking long snap by Kuntz. Now, how about that false start on Kuntz because he twisted the ball? You know, only position where you don't get any credit at all. Zero.
Good point by Yinzer Joe. Since the tush push is still legal, we can get you in there on the tush push. You can just run up the middle.
I would just like bear crawl. I used to have to do that in, I can't even say midget league, can I? That's what it was called back in the day.
It's okay.
I used to take Matt Drewcheck, who's a big center. All they want me to do is just take out his legs, so I blocked up the middle. So the whole game, I would just cut him.
Good job. What else did you notice at OTAs on day number 4, and what should we look for in day number 5?
It was a Joey Porter's golf outing.
Oh, so there was nobody there yesterday, basically.
They were there, but I mean, I think attendance wasn't very mandatory or not very – full. Maybe that changes today, but I mean, what jumps out at me is some of the guys that don't need to be there. I mean, Minka doesn't need to be there, but he doesn't miss anything. He works extremely hard afterwards. Deshaun Elliott doesn't need to be there. He's there. Queen, he doesn't need to be. Slay. I mean, these are guys that don't need to be there, but they're there every single day putting in the work. So
It's good news for the defense. And it
looks
hopefully.
Like, you know, it looks like at this point right now that Beanie Bishop is your nickelback, but once again, it's really early. I don't know if they're just giving him that first chance and maybe throwing Echols back in.
I don't think you can ignore what Beanie did getting after the football last year.
Yeah, I can't ignore them freaking benching him either.
No, I know, which didn't make a ton of sense to me. I mean, I understand he's young. He probably made mistakes in coverage. I get it. And that's the kind of stuff that we don't immediately notice unless, especially when you're playing underneath, playing the nickel. But man, when a guy has an eye for the ball like that, like he does, I want him out there in big situations.
Well, I mean, I think he's going to get better. I mean, once he's a guy that was undrafted. I mean, everybody's ever talked to you about nickelback, and it's like you have to be the smartest guy on the field to play nickelback because it's more than just read and react. You got to anticipate what's going on a lot there. Two-way reads and stuff like that. You got to know what you're doing there. You got to be smart.
And the best nickelbacks have a nose for the ball because they know how to read things. I mean, think of what Willie Gay did at that position. Yeah. Think of what Mike Hilton did at that position. You know, they know exactly how to time their blitzes when they're coming in off the edge on a zone blitz. They know, like you said, how to read and react. And I think Beanie showed a lot of that.
You know who I want to bring up is Corey Trice too. He's a guy that if he can just stay healthy, I think has a very legit opportunity to be that DB2 next year. You know, he could be the long-term answer next to Joey Porter. My goodness, is he just looked the part. He's looking faster, quicker. He's looking more comfortable, but just the injuries just tend to pile up on the guy. He sounded like he had much more confidence this year. Once again, talking about June football here.
Right.
But I think this is a guy, this is why they liked him. He just needs to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, he has a chance to be a guy not only helps this team out this year, but long-term in the future.
That's what I was going to say is that's exactly why the Slay signing makes as much sense as it does, because Darius plays here for a year or two, rides off into the sunset, and Corey Trice and Joey Porter Jr., we've mentioned him before too, get to learn from him. And then in a year or two, when you need Corey Trice, like you said, assuming he stays healthy, you can slot him on the other side across from Porter. And if you've got two strong corners out there, I know people will argue with me about Porter, but if you got Porter and Trice is looking really good, that's a decent 1-2. That's the kind of decent 1-2 you have to have in a division where you got to play Cincy twice a year, and you're going to have to go through quarterbacks like Allen and Mahomes and Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, another guy I forgot to mention before was Highsmith. He doesn't need to be there. He's working as hard as anybody out there.
It's interesting that everybody you mentioned in that regard is on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe that's just because that's where there's more veterans.
Well, all the offensive linemen there. I don't think I've seen Sam Allo yet, but he's 100 years old, so he's good. He's good.
He's 100 years old.
Plus, I'm not saying anything to him, man. He's a frightening individual.
Samoan werewolf.
He's a guy that's nice. But he'll just glare at you and say, make it quick. And you're like, yes, sir.
Then you look down at the tape recorder after you're done. You're like, man, that was the longest 37 seconds of my life.
Adamski has a good audio clip of him.
37 seconds is half of an Adamski question.
True. True. He looked at him and Adamski asked one of his questions. And he just stared at him because, next question.
That's great.
See, if I'm in a gangbang like that and hear that, I just
start. You just used the term you said you weren't going to use.
I just laugh out loud. I'm like,
You are the worst in the world at hiding your reactions during those group media sessions.
Like when Ben used to dart certain people, I would just laugh. I'll be like, he just darted him. Benji just got darted. What, we darted me on this one? I must have did something.
two quick comments I want to follow up on before we wrap up here and let you get down south side. Let's start with our good friend Mark Malone. We appreciate him chiming in all the time. Cam Hayward looking lightning fast going through drills. You said it. It's June football, but any difference in Cam going into his 27th year in the league?
No, I think he just has to be smart. I mean, this does nothing for him. Go out there and get some work in. Get your cardio in, what you need to. He hasn't been there all the time, but he doesn't need. I don't think anybody's complaining about that. But they just have to be very careful with him. You need him in December. You don't need him right now. But he is a freak. He's just an absolute freak that I think Tomlin really likes to tweak him at times, saying, old man, and you can't do this just to light a fire. I mean, he hasn't said this, but I'm quite sure that Derek Harmon's lit a fire under his ass.
Man, if Cam Hayward continues to somehow get better and better at this age, I mean, it's a modern athletic marvel what he's done.
You don't see this age. You see some people like Calais Campbell, but Calais Campbell near the last couple of years barely played. You know? Right. I mean, he was a one-trick pony, 15, 20 snaps a game. This is a guy. Well, once again, though, Hayward needs to be a guy that if you're going to do anything with this defensive line, I think they need to cut back on his snaps. Use them judiciously.
There you go. You got it out.
You don't need him playing 85% of the snaps, but you need him playing the important snaps.
Justin wants to know, has DK showed up yet?
Yeah, I saw Dejon yesterday.
No.
Oh.
Metcalf. Jag off.
Put it this way. We're not allowed to say, but all the pictures coming out of the wide receiver lineup.
You haven't spotted him in those pictures yet?
Spotted him.
Okay.
You're not allowed to say who's there, but you can go through the entire warm-up line and videotape it and print that and post that. So you have to make your own thoughts about that.
Theory from Yinzer Joe. Thanks to him again for chiming in. Metcalf's working out with Rodgers and Cali. LOL.
Training camp schedule's up, by the way.
Oh, okay. Give it to us.
July 23rd, all players report.
Whoa, that's early.
And they break camp on August. Right before the Tampa game, so August 15th. So
man, that's a 3-week camp. I mean, that's not unusual compared to what we grew up watching in like the 90s. But like the 23rd feels a little early, doesn't it? We're usually in the late 20s.
Yeah, I'm not. It could wait. Let me just see here real quick. There's a four days of acclimation period.
So, okay.
Players' day off on the 28th. They really don't start hitting full pads until Tuesday, July 29th.
Okay.
There we have it. We have report on the 23rd of July and break camp right before the Tampa preseason game, which is they do have a joint practice on August 14th at Acrisure Stadium.
Heinz Field. Okay, good to know. We got a little breaking news there at the end of the show. Kaboom's going to go down and cover OTA number 5. Tomorrow is number 6. We'll be back on Friday to talk about the completion of the second week of OTAs and get you set up for the rest of your summer. Like I said, some massive guests hopefully rolling in late June, early July to join us here on the show. We thank all of you for joining us every single time we pop on here. Don't forget to support our good friends at the Dan Heck Team, all of our sponsors, but our presenting sponsor as well, the Dan Heck Team, Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. And be sure to follow us on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and of course on YouTube. Become one of the first 2,500 subscribers on YouTube. We're right around 1,650-ish right now. And you might win. You'll be eligible anyway to win that autographed Paul Skeens baseball from our friends at First and Goal Collectibles, firstandgoalsports.com. go do some work and get some sleeves on first, will you?
Oh, yeah. This is just my home look.
You're hanging out look.
But you have to understand, it's really hard for my upper arms to have shirts that fit. Then it doesn't.
My arms are so big that I got to cut the sleeves off.
I'm an LT guy. So if, unless you get an XLT or 2XLT or 3XLT, whatever it is, it tends to ride up a lot. So if you cut the sleeves, it loosens that up. So,
all right, good. I'm glad you're comfortable.
At least I got my hat on with the logo in the center, not on the right left-hand side. What is that?
I like it.
What is that? Is that like a anchor or something?
It's about the Warrior Foundation. They support post 9/11 vets in the Western PA area. It's about the Warrior. Just Google it. They do a great job for guys coming back, dealing with things physically and mentally after being overseas.
You must have got that hat for free.
I did, but that doesn't change the fact that I appreciate everything they do. So, and I really like the hat.
Right now, this looks like it's an anchor. It looks like you're a Navy guy.
No, that's a helmet on top of the gun going down into the gear. And that's a W-shaped.
Did they ever think about moving it to the center of the hat?
I think it would look weird in the middle. I kind of like it offset.
Let me guess, you wear your hats like this.
No, Pokey Reese, I don't. All right, that's going to do it for today. That's going to do it for today. By the way, if you're going to take videos of your kid getting base hits in up there on Maori 4 in Little League Baseball, could you at the very least give us some better camera work? I saw that on Instagram last night. I'm like, Jesus.
Well, you have to understand, I'm trying to videotape it so I can show him what he's doing wrong while watching it at the same time.
Well, so you got to commit to one or the other, pal. I'm telling you. Commit to the video work.
I went to the outfield after that and did the old Fox Sports Pittsburgh camera from the outfield.
Center field.
He struck out, so much for that.
Yeah, delete that one. All right, we'll do it again on Friday around 10:30 or so. Go cover practice. Follow Kabali and Mac on all your social medias and your YouTube, and admire Kabali's guns.